नम नमस्कृत नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमधीरयत्। Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of God and Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, our translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloka Bhaktir Bhavati Naistiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 5. Today's verse is 624. Sa va esha tada drashta na pasyad drishyam ekarat mene shantam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Sava esha tada drashta na pasyad drishyam ekarat mene shantam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Sava esha tada drashta na pasyad drishyam ekarat mene shantam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Sava esha tada drashta na pasyad drishyam ekarat mene santam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Please chant. Drashta Napasya Drishamekarat mene santam ivatmanam supta shaktir asupta drik. Vaishnavis, okay, synonyms, Saha, the personality of Godhead. va either. Eshaha, all these. Tada, at that time. Drashta, the seer. Na, did not. Apashyat, see. Drishyam, the cosmic creation. Ekarat, undisputed proprietor. Mayene, thought like this. Asantam, non-existent. Iva, like that. Atmanam, plenary manifestations. Supta, unmanifested. Shaktihi, material energy. Asupta, manifested. Trik, internal potency. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time, and thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. The material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. Please repeat. The Lord, the undisputed proprietor of everything, was the only seer. The cosmic manifestation was not present at that time. And thus he felt imperfect without his plenary and separated parts and parcels. The material energy was dormant, whereas the internal potency was manifested. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is the supreme seer because only by his glance did the material energy become active for cosmic manifestation. At that time, the seer was there, but the external energy over which the glance of the Lord is cast was not present. He felt somewhat insufficient, like a husband feeling lonely in the absence of his wife. This is a poetic simile. In other words, don't take it literally. The Lord wanted to create the cosmic manifestation to give another chance to the conditioned souls who were dormant in forgetfulness. The cosmic manifestation gives the conditioned souls a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. And that is its main purpose. The Lord is so kind that in the absence of such a manifestation, he feels something wanting. And thus, the creation takes place. Although the creation of the internal potency was manifested, the other potency appeared to be sleeping, and the Lord wanted to awaken her to activity. Just as a husband wants to awaken his wife from the sleeping state for enjoyment. It is the compassion of the Lord for the sleeping energy that he wants to see her awaken for enjoyment, like the other wives who are awake. The whole process is to enliven the sleeping conditioned souls to the real life of spiritual consciousness, so that they may thus become as perfect as the ever-liberated souls in the Vaikuntha Lokas. Since the Lord is Satchidananda Vigraha, he likes every part and parcel of his different potencies to take part in the blissful rasa, because participation with the Lord in his eternal rasa-lila is the highest living condition, perfect in spiritual bliss and eternal knowledge. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tilamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pratarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine Om Agyana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Tapadakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavangsha Sri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tangsativam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Prajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvatangsha Hey Krishna Karana Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Vancha Kopaturubya Shah Kripa Sindhu Bevacha. Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaisavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaurabhaktavinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Maitreya Muni is beginning to give some detailed information about the Supreme Lord and His energies. As mentioned here, there are two primary energies, the internal or ever-existing spiritual potency, and the external, which sometimes appears to be dormant. It's interesting, there's this French verb, dormir, to sleep. So dormant means appearing to be asleep. We experience that every day, every one of us. No matter how much sleep or how little sleep you get, everybody gets some sleep. As I've said many times, I'm a lifelong insomniac. Like last night, I went to bed about 12:30, and I noticed this personality sitting on the sidewalk over here. And then I get up the next morning, and he was that same morning, it's already past midnight, and he was sitting in front of the door here. So some of us don't get that much sleep. I guess I'm not the only one. But everybody gets some sleep. So where does that sleeping tendency come from? Where does the sleep come from? Yesterday, Ananda Kirtan asked that nice question that I answered briefly. But it's answered in more detail earlier in this Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second canto, 10th chapter, text number 6, which is a famous verse that Prabhupada recited many times. Niroda, Shana, Sharanam, Atmana, Shaktibi. Muktir Hitva Nita Rupam, Swarupena Vivasati. That the merging of the living entities, along with their conditional tendency, into the mystic slumber of the Mahavishnu is called the winding up of creation. So the question was, is Mahavishnu, sometimes not existing? No, he's always existing. All of us are always existing. That again is the very first point of the Bhagavad Gita. Natweva ham jatanasam natang neme janadipa natchaiva namavishyama sarve. Yeah, param, right. So, never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future will any of us cease to be. Any of us, Krishna includes himself. So that means also his plenary expansions. They're always existing. If we as living entities, as mentioned in that verse, 2:10:6, and I'm going to read some part of the purport because Prabhupada gives very nice explanation. But if we merge into the body, and merge doesn't mean that you disappear. It means that you're just absorbed into the body of the Mahavishnu. And if we exist eternally, then how can Mahavishnu not exist? If we're merged into his body until the next creation, how can he not exist if we're existing in his body? So I just want to make it quite clear. It would seem a little ambiguous, but there's no ambiguity. We are always existing. That's what eternality means. Eternal means always existed in the past, existing now, and will continue to exist in the future. So you cannot become eternal. Something that's not eternal cannot become eternal. Because that means it didn't exist in the past, so it was not eternal. See what I'm saying? Like, this is not an eternal object. It wasn't existing 50 years ago. I bought it from Amazon a few months back. And somebody manufactured it in China maybe a year ago. So a couple of years ago, for sure, it wasn't existing. So it's not eternal. But we're not like that. We're not created in China at some point. Or it seems like everything is created in China nowadays. We're not Chinese creations. We are eternally parts and parcels of Krishna. So what to speak of Krishna's plenary expansions, the Purusha avatars, beginning with Mahavishnu, and Garbhodaksha Vishnu, and Shirataka Vishnu. They must be eternal. We can't be something that they're not. See what I'm saying? So I just wanted to make sure that that point is well understood. And here also today, in this verse, it should be understood that Prabhupada said Krishna was feeling imperfect, but he gave the example of the husband and wife, and he said it's just a simile. In other words, don't take it that Krishna is ever imperfect. He's not. He's the ever-existing, always perfect Supreme Personality of God. There's never any imperfection in Krishna. Not only is there no imperfection in his personality, There's no imperfection in his activity. Sometimes people don't understand that. It's funny, in some cultures, they will criticize God. How can God do this and what kind of God? And then, but the leader of the community, they won't criticize. You see what I'm saying? An ordinary man, they will take as perfect. Everything he says is true. He never tells a lie. Everything he does is perfect. An ordinary human being, very clearly ordinary human being, getting older, about to die, they won't question him. You see? Everything he does is perfect. Everything he says is perfect. But God, what kind of God is that? How could he let this happen? How could he do that? No, everything that God does is perfect. The completely perfect, supreme, all good, all beneficial personality of God. We have to take these concepts into mind and understand them. God is all good. So those who don't believe in God, they will say, how is that possible? If God is all good, how can this bad thing happen? Why didn't he stop it? No, God is not your personal protector in terms of you tell him what to do. He tells you what to do. And we remain here because we don't want to be told what to do. And we see that tendency is there even in children. As soon as they can walk, they want to run down the street. And you tell them to stop, they don't stop. You have to go and grab them and bring them back. So that hard-headedness is there in the conditioned soul from the very beginning of life. We don't like to be told what to do. But we have to give that up when we come in contact with the perfect advisor. And that's what Krishna is, because he knows everything, past, present, and future. He says that, right? Vedaham samatitani. Vartamani tavarjana. Vavishyami sabhutani. Mam tu vedana kashyana. He says, I know everything, past, present, and future. And I know everyone. But me, nobody knows. So when that all-perfect personality gives advice in the shape of Bhagavad Gita, as Prabhupada would say, then we should take it. We should take it. But we don't like to be given good advice. We always like to do our own thing. And sometimes it works out, not sometimes, almost all the time it works out detrimentally. We insist on doing our own thing. And then when we get burned, then we wonder why. How could this happen to me? I'm a good person. Good example. And Krishna's representative, Srila Prabhupada, is always giving good advice also. We should be ready to accept that. One example, kind of tragic, but one of our God brothers, when the Vietnam War was going on, most of the devotees were running away, trying to find a way not to get drafted. I was lucky. I was in engineering school, and they weren't drafting engineers and doctors at the time. But this one devotee, even though all the other devotees were trying to avoid, he volunteered to go. And Prabhupada said, no, you shouldn't go. But he decided to go. So he goes to Vietnam, and along with a bunch of other American soldiers, he got captured by the Viet Cong. So they were in a makeshift, you know, because this is in the jungle, so it wasn't like a real prison, like you put somebody in a brick and mortar. It was like a makeshift prison camp, and they had to been there. And being young, you know, tough American boys, they had to figure out a way how to get out. So they did. He told me all the details once. I don't remember all everything now, but some or other, they were able to overpower one of the guards, and they got away, and they were running. I don't remember how many of them there were, but he was one of them, and they were running away from this prison camp through the jungle, jumping over. You know, you can imagine, because these guys want to kill them. So they come over the crest of a hill, and they hear barrage of gunshots and, you know, mortar, you know, all this loud war sounds going on. They don't know which direction it's coming from. If you're in a situation like that, all this loud, is it the Americans firing in or the other guys firing out? They just keep running. And unfortunately, he got hit. And later on, they kind of figured out it was actually American fire that hit him. And he lost both arms. So because he will admit himself, because he didn't listen to Prabhupada's advice, he went to Vietnam and this happened. So we should always be in a mood of taking advice from superior authorities. But unfortunately, the material energy convinces us that we are our best superior authority. Every lifetime, and that's why we stay in this material world. Because lifetime after lifetime, Maya convinces us, why are you listening to that guy? You know, you're smart. Figure it out yourself. Or, you know, And we either we completely give up on spiritual life or we make a mishmash. We take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And we stare in people's eyes and we spin around and spin around instead of sitting down and chanting Hare Krishna. Don't get misled. The Yuga Dharma, the way to get out of this material entanglement in this age is Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva Nasteva Nasteva. Gatiranyata. Just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Now, there's a quality to that chanting. Every morning we recite the 10 offenses against the chanting of the holy name. So we should take it seriously, how to avoid those offenses. And positively, hearing from the scriptures regularly, associating with devotees nicely, coming to the temple and worshipping the deities, taking prasadam. These are all very positive things that are easy to do, but why do we have a hard time to do them? Because again, Maya convinces us. This is not in your best interest. Come on, life is short. Go out and earn some money and get some nice things in your life. And we'll make plans like anything to associate with an ordinary living entity, another human being. We'll make plans. People jump over the moon to get involved with some other human being. But the simple process of surrendering to Krishna, that can't be bothered. Not interested, or it's too hard, or... No, it's not hard. This is Maya talking. It's not hard. Putting your hand in the bead bag and chanting 16 rounds every day is not difficult. It's just our own hard-headedness that prevents us from surrendering to that. So we have to see everything, all aspects of Krishna consciousness as part of the process of surrender. But it's a beautiful surrender. Beneficial for us to surrender to the Supreme Personality of God, and to surrender to God is the best thing you can do. But because we have a prison-like mentality, we don't like to hear the word surrender. It means somebody's controlling me, somebody's telling me what to do, and I don't want to be told what to do. But the example is given, if you're in a room like this and all of a sudden there's a big fire breaks out, which is possible, and the room fills up with smoke, and you don't know which way to go. And Sava says, follow me. I know the room. I've been here for 35 years, 40 years, whatever it is. Just hold on to me and follow me. I'll take you out. But if you become overintelligent, no, I just want to figure it out myself. So you keep feeling along the wall, feeling for the door, and then you burn to death. So that's what we're going through. Srila Prabhupada is here. He knows how to get out because he's not from the prison. He's from outside. He knows how to get out. Hold on to me and I'll take you out. But no, I want to feel around myself and feel around. And then we die again and wake up again in another body to feel around again. So we should stop that feeling around business. Just follow the person who knows how to get out. It's that simple. Do we want to get out? That's the problem. We don't really want to get out. We don't. We're so lazy in Kali Yuga that we will burn. Prabhupada himself gave this story of one kingdom where the king noticed that all of his citizens were lazy. Nobody wanted to do anything. So he called the ministers together. How can we get these people to be a little more active and do something in life? So they came up with a plan that they're going to advertise all over the kingdom. All lazy men come to the capital, to the palace of the king, and we will feed you for free. You don't have to do anything. Just sit down and eat. So they set up all these big pandals, and all these lazy fellows came and sat down. And they were feeding them nice feast. And then they set the pandals on fire. Everybody got up and ran away except for two guys. Prabhupada told the story. One guy turned to the other guy and said, you know, I'm starting to feel a little warm. So that guy, second guy, turned to the first guy and said, don't worry, just turn the other side. So Prabhupada said, the king said, these two guys are really lazy. We'll feed them. Everybody else has to work. You see? So when it comes to self-preservation, we have to stop being lazy. You have to just follow the program, which is a very, very simple program. Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. Associate with the devotees. See the deities. And give the process to others. So we have our Rath Yatra coming up. This is the best way to give the process to others. These festivals. Because people are not attracted necessarily to come to the temple. So the Lord is so kind, he goes out to them. He says, here I am. Here's my smiling face, my beautiful, unblinking eyes. Just come and take darshan. That's what Rath Yatra is all about, to give everybody on the street a chance to see Lord Jagannath. And hopefully that impression will go so deep that in this lifetime they will want to see him again. Where do you guys, you know, you come down to the beach with this festival, but where do you go after that? Come, 3764 Wasik Avenue. Come, buy some books, get some prasadam at Govinda's. And you want to dress like us? We have a gift shop, and you can buy some dhotis, saris. That's what it's all about. Festivals. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very, very keen on festivals, and that's why Prabhupada stressed it also, understanding the mood of his spiritual master. That in Kali Yuga, people are lazy. But if you give them something entertaining, everybody wants to be entertained. Nobody wants to work, but everybody wants to be entertained. If you're not entertaining, if you're boring, get out of my way. But if you're willing to sing and dance and do something to make me feel happy, then okay, good. And what to speak of, if you're willing to feed me, yes. So we go down to the beach with Lord Jagannath, free feast, yes, come and eat. We have a stage show, come and watch some Bharatanatyam and hear devotees chant. This is the whole principle behind the festival. So it's coming up, Subhas is going to need all of us to pitch in and do our level best to get the thing going again. We had a little lapse there because of COVID. So now we need to get into the mood again, how to put on the festival nicely and distribute prasadam and sell. We also sell. We're not just, you know, free society. When it comes to prasadam, we have two concepts. Free food for life and food for money. So we have both at the festival site. We have our free food booth, and then we have nice prasadam, curd steaks, and everything that you can come and buy. And we should never feel shy about taking money from the public. If you don't take their money and use it in Krishna consciousness, they're just going to entangle themselves more and more. They buy all kinds of things that are unmentionable with their money, or they gamble, or it's just a waste. Practically, outside of a devotee, everybody in this world simply wastes their money. And they're not even happy, no matter how much money they have. Just like we have this example now of this leader of Russia. He was reputed to be the world's wealthiest person, worth more than $200 billion. But he wasn't happy. Therefore, he had to invade his neighbors. You see? So money is not the answer. Money will not make us happy. So many examples. I mean, we have some Indian persons here, but some of you may know. Famous case from India. The Ambani brothers, they were the father started from very humble origins and he became very wealthy, started Reliance Corporation, you must have heard. So the father died at 69 and he had his two sons, so everything was handed over to them. Blood brothers, but they hated each other. The younger one especially could not stomach being number two. Elder brother became the chairman of the corporation and he was the vice chairman. Not happy. So they fought and fought. The Indian government had to get involved because it was such a big corporation. They didn't want to see it destroyed. So they came to an agreement. They split the company in two. One brother took certain industries, chemicals and whatever, and the other brother took communications and whatever. You think that was the end of it. Okay, now you don't have to deal with each other. No. They were still competing with each other. The younger brother was listed in Forbes as the sixth wealthiest person in the world. But he wasn't happy. Why? You can guess. His elder brother was listed as number five. So, long story short, he made all kinds of bad decisions and he went from having about $45 billion to zero. So this is our situation. Krishna has given us everything we need to succeed in this world, to live happily. But because of greed and envy and hatred and lust, we come down to zero and again have to start over. So this is what the acharyas are trying to tell us. Don't do that. Don't squander your real wealth. Your real wealth is not how much you have in the bank. It's the life that you have. Employ this energy, this life energy, in the right way, and you'll be happy. and you will make others happy. Very, very simple thing. Especially we have a lot of young men here. And again, nothing is denied. Yes, we want relationships. So you take one life partner, like our temple president said, such a good example. He and his wife have been married forever. Take one life partner and live happily in Krishna consciousness. That's all. Don't have to go chasing down and running around and putting yourself at risk. Everything should be done intelligently. We have to eat, only eat Krishna prasadam. Don't eat any nonsense. Again, you want a partner, get one partner and be satisfied. You need a place to live, live as simply as possible. Do everything nicely. Nobody's forcing us to do anything extreme in terms of austerity. Not necessary in this age to set, to go down the path of extreme austerity. Little austerity, that's all. Little austerity. Chant every day. Find time to chant. Find time to hear from the Shastra. Repeat what you hear. Discussion, like we have discussion. Whatever you have a question, ask the question. But only of somebody who you respect. Especially when we have problems in life. If we simply go around speaking our problems to everybody, it's a disturbance. Find one person, if you don't have already have a guru, find at least one person, senior personality, that whose opinion you will accept and go with it. But forever repeating our problems is just another way of keeping ourselves in the center instead of Krishna. You see? Oh, I have this and I want an I and I and I and I did this and I didn't do that and I and I and I and I. When we're here to be trained to put Krishna in the center, what does Krishna want? And how do we know? Because the spiritual master tells us, this is what Krishna wants. Please do this. Krishna will be happy. You will be satisfied. Jai. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.